Plenty of head coaching changes going on throughout the National Football League. And we're going to dive into Green Bay, go there live right now, and talk to a very good friend, former Green Bay Packer, outstanding running back in the Packer Hall of Fame, the Packers' all-time leading rusher, and has done a lot of television there in the Green Bay market as well. And now you can actually catch him with his own channel on Twitch TV, at Amon Green TV, and also TGFN, True Game Fans TV, the one, the only, Amon Green. What is happening, my man?
Man, not much, TC. How you been doing?
I've been doing great, man. So a little busy time in Titletown right now, huh?
Very busy. coaching search is over, which I'm kind of surprised. And I think for the team, it's a good thing, too, that they got this done and behind them, and now they can move on to the next step.
It's very rare, especially in Green Bay. I believe the franchise has had only 15 head coaches the entire time. How are people feeling in Green Bay? What has transpired? I'm talking about going back to last month when Mike McCarthy was let go.
It was a disappointment, and because it was something that usually doesn't happen during a Packer season where the head coach gets fired with four or five games left. So disappointment, and I say for him personally, it was a thing that I thought they would just let Mike McCarthy play his games out because I believe he earned it. You know, he won a Super Bowl, been to numerous playoff appearances and a few NFC championship games. So I think that right there garnered the fact that he could have finished off the season and, you know, good or bad, but at least give that to him and then start in the search. But, you know, for them, for the Packers, I guess they wanted to get things moving. And with that game prior to the firing, losing to the Cardinals here in Green Bay, was kind of this, I guess, the splinter that broke the camel's back there. So it was something that got accelerated because of that loss. But then, as you look now, it's a good thing because that's done early. A lot of that was big work that needed to get done, and it got done. It found a great guy in Matt LaFleur, a guy that I know and played with alongside with as a coach when I was playing with the Houston Texans. He was part of the coaching staff then. I can't remember. I know he worked along with Kyle Shanahan on offensive side of the ball. I believe he worked with the quarterbacks on Matt Schaub and those quarterbacks that was there. So that's where he started. That was over 10 years ago now. So he's made his way up through the ranks, 12 years in the ranks behind Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay out in Los Angeles, and actually was part of Sean McVay's coaching staff in 2017 that basically turned around the Rams' offense and organization to get them to where they are now. So he was a part of that. And now this past year, along with Mike Vrabel down in Tennessee, he helped orchestrate Mariota and that offense, and that whole team, because it's offense or defense, whatever one side is playing well, it boosts that team morale, confidence, and everything. So the offense playing well, the defense got to be one of the top defenses in the NFL in terms of the Tennessee Titans. So that shows since he's here now as the Green Bay Packers head coach.
You brought up Mike McCarthy. Here's a guy that we both knew, and you actually played for him. What do you think happened there? And we heard a lot about the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy thing, that relationship actually didn't play itself out according to form. It deteriorated over years. I want to get your take on that. Was that overblown? Was there some truth to that? And why do you think the Packers actually decided to part ways with Mike?
Yeah, I really don't know. I can't speak on the truth of that, but from what I see, the disconnect, and usually disconnect starts with non-communication. So maybe there was some non-communication between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, and I say in some places the team as a whole, from coaches to coaches, players to coaches, it was just that disconnect, because that's what happened. That's the first sign of a disorganized organization. If it's a family, if it's a business, if it's a football team, it's the communication. Communication pathways started to break down, and you started to see it come out in the media, where the media was doing more of the controlling, it seemed, of the team by asking certain questions and getting a lot. You could see the lies it would get out of Aaron or Coach McCarthy or any of the coaches or players if a topic was brought up. You could tell something was touchy. And that's when you know there's that the players and the team and the coaches are not in control. The media is in control. So when you saw that, you know, starting actually wasn't this year. It was actually last year towards the end of the 2017 season. And then on through the offseason, especially when Aaron gets the big $100 million contract. So along with that, you have the anxiety and the pressure of performing well because now you got paid in terms of Aaron. But then also with Mike McCarthy, you got to perform well as a coaching staff and as a head coach to, again, get the team back to the playoffs because in 2017 they didn't go to the playoffs. So you had all those running headlines going on all year long, and as a player, trust me, I was there. It's frustrating when you sometimes it can be frustrating if you see it. Even though you're not letting it in, you keep hearing about it. After practice, you get interviewed by reporters, and they're asking the same questions. It's like, all right, man, I want to talk about football. Ask me a football question. You know, ask me something that I'm doing to get ready for the Lions or the Bears or the Dolphins, not what's going on between my starting quarterback and my head coach. You know, those questions came up a lot. And so players get frustrated. Everybody in the organization, you know, it kind of controls them, where they can't really think about football. And so you kind of saw that was a running issue throughout the season here. But if living here in Green Bay and how things run, because you know, TC, you know, once the football season starts, that's the only thing that's on the headline news. And from Green Bay all the way down to Milwaukee, Kenosha area, it's Green Bay Packers through and through pretty much year-round. So when you have those negative headlines always infiltrating, you know, the news waves, it's tough for a fan to try to, you know, find out what exactly is going on and be a fan. They want to point fingers. They want to blame this person, blame that person. Obviously, this year, a lot of the blame went on Coach McCarthy and the coaching staff. And we saw the changes even 2 days later after Coach McCarthy was fired, with the Moss got let go because of comments on Twitter. You know, so it was everywhere. And I think the change is tough for everybody, but then it's also a good thing in the long run when all the dust settles.
Former Packers running back Amon Green joined us. So, Amon, let's talk a little bit about Matt LaFleur. Like I said, you know him very well. But for a lot of people, especially out here on the West Coast now, he's not a household name. He's had so many different stops. He's never been a head coach. I thought this was pretty interesting, too, is that the Packers actually said that they interviewed 10 different candidates. And you usually don't see an organization interview that many. They'll trim a list to maybe 4 or 5 max. That tells me, like, wow, they want to make sure they get this right. In your opinion, why do you think they went with LaFleur?
In my opinion, I think you kind of said it. They want to get it right. They want to be thorough. And that's me. I'm thorough. I'm going to ask a ton of questions. And I would rather have a variety of options of people to talk to. Josh Daniels, Campbell from New Orleans, you know, and those, and just the list was going on, actually. So a good list of coaches. And they found the guy because, you know, Matt probably answered those questions the way they wanted to hear the answers. Not, you know, not saying it was staged or anything, but just knowing what he's done and what his philosophy is. So once they hear his philosophy and they ask probably all the coaches the same question, it was something about his philosophy, his game plan, his attack of game plan. And, you know, Gutekunst, watching McVay, watching Shanahan, playing against those teams as well, you know how those offenses work. They get everybody involved, the quarterback, the offensive line, the wide receivers, the tight end, the running back, and then defense can just play off of them. So when I say they get everybody involved, they have running backs that are very versatile, that can do everything, run the ball and catch the ball, wide receivers as well, and even throw the ball because sometimes they do trick plays because they want to keep a defense honest. So learning them under McVay and learning under Shanahan, they know how to pretty much get everybody involved. And I say another running story all this year long, and now with Matt LaFleur here, is who or what coach, when you know, whenever they hire that said coach, what will he do to basically get Aaron back on top, you know, and get Aaron back to the elite quarterback status that he, you know, people know him as. And so I think Matt LaFleur, with his experience now, is just going to see if he can get produced on the field now. Because talk is talk. Words on paper is words on paper. But then for me as a player, I want to see action. I want to see him in meetings, coaching Aaron up, you know, then it transfers over to the field, to the terms of the practice field, and then on over to the OTAs, and eventually on the game field, because then if you're not just coaching Aaron, you're coaching this entire offense, this entire team. You're leading this team. So, yeah, you're talking directly to Aaron some days, but then most of the time it's like, how are you going to motivate this whole entire team to get your buy-in as a new head coach, to motivate them to be explosive offensively and then defensively being able to stop people and keep the score down so they can win? So that's going to be some of the main points for LaFleur. And, you know, and asking those questions and then actually making that action happen, making them words are real.
Amon, you know better than anybody else. You know, when you're a veteran player in that locker room and you look at Aaron Rodgers, is he going to be able to get along, respect, take direction from a younger head coach, especially a guy that will be in his first year as a head coach? Do you see this working?
The way I know Aaron, yeah, I see him. He's a winner. He's a team player, and he understands what, you know, his role is. So I think he knows pretty surely if he comes in, and obviously he's going to question him, but it's going to be more from a learning standpoint because obviously it's a different methodology of what Matt LaFleur's offense verbiage may be. but I don't think it's going to be anything where basically I know more than you, or I've been here longer than you, type of mentality, because Aaron, he wants to win games. He wants to win championships, and he knows what that takes. You know, it takes listening. He knows it takes watching film, taking notes, and then getting other players involved, and also working along with his coaches. But no, I don't think he's going to be anybody that's going to get in Matt LaFleur's way to develop as a head coach and his first coaching experience. I think if anything, you know, he wants to make sure, in terms of Aaron, he wants to make sure that he gets back, you know, where he was in the previous year. He had a great statistical season, only threw two interceptions and over 30-plus touchdowns, but still, the victories weren't there. So that is a team effort, not just an individual guy effort. This is not like back in the 90s and the late 80s, mid-80s, with Michael Jordan taking over the team with the Chicago Bulls. No, it's not that. You can't do that. Less players on the field or on the court, you know, five players for the Bulls and five other players from whatever team they were facing that night, and Michael Jordan could take over that game. And, you know, that's a different number. It's a numbers game from that standpoint. But from Aaron Rodgers, you got 9, 10 other people on that field that's going to dictate what you do, because if the offensive line is not blocking, the running game is not there, if the receivers are just having a bad day catching the ball, you're not effective as a QB. So you got to make sure everybody is on the same page, working hard, getting better, getting healthy, because we knew that was an issue this year and in previous years. So this is going to be something that's going to be, you know, good to see, you know, a hurry up and wait type of thing for the fan base and myself, because I'm excited to see what Matt LaFleur is, knowing him personally, what he could do as a head coach here in Green Bay.
All right, two losing seasons in a row, not a playoff team again. What needs to happen to get things back to where they used to be for the Packers?
What needs to happen? Well, one is they already got a head coach. Two is to get this team to develop well in the offseason. That means get in the weight room, start the offseason conditioning program on a good step, and also build that health factor. Because as we know, as we've seen with the Packers, for whatever reason, they have a problem with the injury bug all around, not just at the quarterback or the running back or the wide receiver position, but everywhere, D-line, O-line, defensive backs, things of that nature. So let's make that a focus and then build strength and build endurance, because obviously football has changed, but it's still a physical sport. So physically get there, because mentally, these are the 1%ers of athletes in the world. So that part is pretty much there, because it's a year-round thing to stay in shape, to work out, to be physically on top of your game. So I think that part is number one. And then from there on, everything is just it's basics. Learn the plays, learn the, you know, offensive, defensive scheme, learn what the coaches want from you as a player, and then focus on working to get you yourself better as a player. Do your job. That's, you know, that's one thing I do love from New England's program, is do that word, those three words, do your job and get better at what you do best. Because then everybody has that same mindset, and if they do the same thing, then you'll be what the New England Patriots are, or team winning teams from every profession. They individually do their job, and they go out there and win games, but they know it's a long, hard path to get there.
All right, Amon, great stuff as always, my friend. Does a fantastic job there in Green Bay. Good luck to you on your television channels and everything. And when you get to Vegas, man, we definitely got to get together. And I miss you, man. And you're right on top of things there in Green Bay. So I appreciate your insight as always.
Hey, thank you, TC. But yeah, I'll be out there. I'm dealing, you know, doing my work in the esports industry. So yeah, that brings me out to Las Vegas, Los Angeles quite a bit. So yeah, I will give you a shout out when I'm headed your way.
There you go. And real quick before we let you go, former Husker, is Scott Frost going in the right direction?
Yes, he's going in the right direction. If you saw the way that the season ended for Nebraska, they were, you know, putting guys on the ropes. Ohio State was on the ropes. They almost beat them at home. You know, to finish the season strong, where it was 4 quarters of Husker football. They weren't giving up in the first half. They weren't giving up in the third quarter. They were playing a whole game out. That's what I wanted to see as alumni. And to the Husker bar there in Las Vegas, go Big Red. And,
there you go.
It's going to be continued Big Red Cornhusker football, since I'm in Wisconsin. Cornhusker football. That's going to get better going in 2019 in the Big Ten Conference.
There it is, man. The guy bleeds red and white and green and gold. I love it, man.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Amon. Take care, brother. Thanks a lot.
All right, TC. Talk to you later.